You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dave, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for a quick plug, makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Well, blood does make noise, and so do we, and welcome back. This is hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host, along with Katie Whalen, and our thanks go out to Lisa Haven and also to Virginia Farver for a pretty scary hour. I mean, if they continue to do what they're doing, then this is downright frightening. And I think Katie's going to bring us into an area that's also equally as frightening. Before as we do, let's talk about who's making this hour possible. Well, this hour is made possible by Numana Foods. And if you're one of those people, like I do, that think that food could and would be used as a weapon by this administration or the one waiting in the wings if Donald Trump's not successful, well, you better have your food. And the place to go get your food is Numana Foods. Best prices, best quality, and I would really encourage you to visit the website after the show. Go to numana.com/Hodges, and the wide variety of products will stand out for you. My favorite is the grab-and-go bucket. I mean, you can get it, and you can go. You're out the door, and you got your food with you. You don't have to pack sandwiches or anything like that. You never know when you're going to have to bug out quickly. Also, again, I want to remind people about Scene.life, the sane alternative to Facebook. No registration. Simply go to SEEN.life, L-I-F-E, Scene.life. And also, I want to tell you, our YouTube channel is in full swing. Yeah, it's really going. Way to access it very quickly without giving you all the www-what's. Simply go to thecommonsenseshow.com, and down about middle down the page, right in the middle, you'll see Visit Dave's YouTube channel. Click that on, and we got a lot of stuff there. I'm doing 3-4 podcasts a day. We're going to start doing interviews. I did one with Paul Martin. It just went crazy berserk with viewership. And I'm in the process of setting up a whole bunch more. And so it kind of gives our show the feel of going wide. And we had a technical issue with our app. We're trying to link into a couple of things. But let me tell you, it's going to be up this week. And let me tell you what you're going to find when you visit thecommonsenseshow.com. And the app is there. People go, oh, I don't care about it. Well, you want to look at the app. First of all, preview it. Go to Google Play Store. It's there. It's impressive. It's going to take you to the archives. It's going to take you to our YouTube channel where we also store our shows. It's going to take you to the live broadcast of The Common Sense Show. And it's going to take you to our website. One-stop shopping. The app. We're going to feature it prominently in the right-hand corner. And can't wait. When Daniel will get that up. Daniel's our webmaster. And we'll have that up this week. So please, please take advantage of that. And when you go to our YouTube channel, don't forget to subscribe and don't forget to like us, because we've been able to really expand our reach of the topics that we're able to cover. And, wow, it's a great tool. And if you're smarter than YouTube, you can avoid their censors. And anybody who's done any YouTube work, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Wow, what an interesting first 2 hours that was, and I think this is going to be no less the same. So, Katie, we got a health report to do, don't we?
We sure do. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Katie.
We're going to lighten things up a little bit, but this is some great information. So last week we kind of talked about a new little venture I was going to take the health report into, and it's pretty much punching big food in the financial gut. How's that for starters? I want to invite and encourage the people to really start thinking about food independence. Food independence. For the time I've been on the show, the things that I've learned, the things that I've been trying to teach, the websites I've sent people to, we pretty much, if you've been listening to this show, you pretty much have a good idea of how they're poisoning us with the toxins and just the rotten quality of food. But it's not just the food, it's the soil. It's all the elements that go into growing the food or raising the livestock. So the health report is going in a little bit of a twist here. So that is my start off to this hour, or to this half hour. But I was talking to a friend of mine today, and she showed me a book. Some of the listeners may have read this book by Dr. Josh Axe, and it's called Eat Dirt. I thought, well, that's an interesting name. I like it already. So I kind of went through
restaurant. Yeah.
You've eaten Eat Dirt. Oh, McDonald's.
Yeah, they got golden arches. But anyway, go ahead.
There you go. But this is about eating real dirt. I mean, not eating dirt, but the science behind good soil, good food, good nutrients. So I ordered the book, but I read through the book, and it's just so interesting. There's so many things covered in it. But what I got from it initially was gut microbes, just microbes in general, but gut microbes. They're the key to good health. And I've talked about this before, because the gut does the lion's share of lifting as far as the immune system. And the immune system is the core of our health. And so doesn't it make sense that everybody's sort of falling apart? Yes, with the things Virginia's talking about. We have environmental issues like the EMF poisoning and everything else, but just from a food aspect, the fuel that we put in our bodies, it's about good bacteria, bad bacteria. And what was interesting, what really grabbed me, was I was reading a little bit about how we have sanitized our lives so much that our immune systems are not creating natural defenses. You know, we have these antibacterial hand wipes and you know, we're immunizing ourselves, and we're not letting our body do what it was designed to do. So obviously our body's getting rusty or soft or just dysfunctional. So I would recommend that people go and get Eat Dirt by Dr. Josh Axe. Dr. Josh Axe is an amazing holistic author, doctor. And I've got a couple of things I wanted to read off in terms of helping people get started, if not thinking about growing their own food, but actually getting out there and doing it. So there's an article from trueactivist.com, and it's entitled 9 Healing Plants Found in Your Backyard. So they go on to say, I mean, why are we spending $20 on a half-filled jar of high-heated herbs in an artificially made capsule? So he's going on with herbs and things like that that we're buying in the health food stores. They're good. They're wonderful. They're essential. And sometimes we just don't have the time to do these things. But I'm asking people, slow down and start thinking about your health and really start looking into these things. I'm getting into this, and I've never had a green thumb, but I'm starting to research it. I'm starting to grow some of my own foods. But there are things out there in your yard, things you can grow that are easy, such as dandelion greens. It's a yellow top flower. Everybody's seen dandelions. Now, hopefully they're not sprayed, you know, with glyphosate. But if you've got a field nearby, you know, it's fairly clean. It's a yellow top flower. It's usually shunned as a weed, but it has amazing qualities to it. It's a diuretic. It contains potassium. It alleviates arthritis, intestinal disorders, and even though it even regulates blood sugar levels, used topically, it also can treat skin disorders such as eczema. I did not know that. That's amazing. So rosemary is another one. Number two, commonly used in cooking, the herb is native of the Mediterranean region and can do more than spice up your dishes. So recent studies have shown it's a what they call, or what's in it shows that carnosic acid, which is in rosemary, may reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease. The oil in the flower is also antibacterial, antifungal. I use rosemary. I have rosemary essential oil, and I love it. And the oil in rosemary has been shown to improve circulation to the brain, hence association with remembrance. That's great. Lavender. I use lavender. It's a beautiful bush which offers relaxing fragrance. We all know that. But lavender is also a very strong anti-inflammatory, antiseptic. Historically, it was used in ancient Greek and Roman times. It was used as an antiseptic. So it's progressed to be utilized as an alternative remedy treatment to anxiety, migraines, insomnia, and depression. Aloe vera, which, don't you have aloe vera that grows near you, Dave, in the arid regions? Do you have any aloe vera? I know it's out in California.
I'm not a connoisseur, so yeah, I wouldn't know how to raise it. I know you can buy it. I don't know about growing it. My green thumb is brown.
Well, mine was too, but you can always change. We have in the health food stores, you can buy these big 2-3 foot long stalks of the aloe vera, but you can also grow it in your home, and it's wonderful for you can use it as a mouthwash, a sun spray. After sun spray, it calms and cools the skin. It's a skin toner and cleanser. It's great for insect bites, and if you drink it, hopefully it's organic. It's a great cleansing and alkalizing agent. So, and it's great for irritable bowel syndrome. So it's good internally. It relieves constipation, aids heartburn. I mean, it's a long list. And we have lemon thyme, a colorful derivative of thyme. It can be used as a digestive aid for children with upset stomachs. Treats wounds. It also is an antifungal. It treats toenail fungus, and you can grow this at home or let it naturally spring forth and harvest the benefits for free. Sunflowers, a beautiful masterpiece of a plant that follows the sun. Sunflowers have many health benefits. Tea made from the leaves is known to be an astringent, a diuretic, an expectorant, and an agent to reduce fevers. I did not know that. Because of these properties, sunflowers have been used to treat a variety of colds and coughs. The plant itself can extract toxic ingredients from the soil, and was even used by the Russian government to help clean up after Chernobyl. Finally, if matured in seeding, the actual sunflower seeds provide many B vitamins, vitamin E, protein, and fiber. So there's a lot of things out there, and they grow wild. I mean, there's a lot of things out there which we'll get into in just a minute, in terms of foraging. Peppermint is number 7, a wonderful additive to treats and entrees. Peppermint boasts the ability to soothe headaches. It's because it's a vasodilator, so it opens up those blood vessels. I put that on the back of my neck if I'm getting tense or a headache. Skin irritations, nausea, pain, diarrhea. Because it calms the stomach, it's well known for indigestion. Some studies have even shown it has antiviral, antibacterial properties. Preparations made from the leaves can even relieve chest congestion. So, number 8 is catnip. More than a happy cat elixir, this herb is soothing for toothaches if chewed on. I wonder if we respond the same way cats do. I wouldn't do that before I headed off to work, but I don't think so. Can make one sweat and lower fevers, and is even known to be a mild sedative. Oh, it's a mild sedative to humans, so there you go. I'm going to try catnip. Catnip oil can be used a useful insect repellent, and some research even suggests it may repel mosquitoes 10 times better than DEET. Now, with all this Zika fraud stuff going around, might get some catnip. So number 8 is sweet basil. It is detectable, but it's also delectable herb. Adds a zest to Italian-inspired dishes and boosts the healing of the human body. Not only is sweet basil an effective insect repellent, there you go, but in early Greek times, its leaves were used to treat scorpion stings. Now, Dave, I know you have scorpions in Arizona. Romans used it to alleviate flatulence, counteract poisonings, and to stimulate breast milk. A variety called holy basil in India is one of the most medicinal herbs on the planet, used to treat stress, diabetes, and even asthma. Furthermore, some studies have shown it to have antiviral and anti-cancer properties. I knew that from my study of essential oils. So whether wild food foraging or growing in the comfort of your own home, fresh and affordable herbs flourishing easily, these are so easy to do. I mean, you get yourself grow boxes and you can grow these plants right in your home. Or a little aside here, I have a friend who is in Nebraska, and he sent me a little video. He's got this beautiful garden growing out on his property, and right across the way is this cornfield. Well, they're spraying glyphosate. You can see these crop dusters flying over these cornfields, and he was furious because now he has to chop up his garden. So get yourself, he now has to build a greenhouse, but you can do this. Build a small greenhouse, inexpensive, plant these things in your home, get a sunroom, and plant away. So here's something pretty cool. It's a story, it's an article from naturalblaze.com called Black Gold. Add nutrients to the garden the easy way. So if people aren't familiar with, like you and I, Dave, we don't have the greenest of thumbs. The more I get into this, it's easy, it's simple, it's natural. Our grandparents did it. This is the lost art that we need to get back. Yes, we have food storage, but let's go one step further. What if the food storage is gone? Can we forage? Do we know what to eat? Can we grow our own foods to survive on? It may get back to that. You know, life is cyclical, so we may have to learn these things. But here's something interesting. Black gold is a nitrogen and potassium-rich product that improves soil structure, increases plant yield, and has even been known to improve the taste of fruits and vegetables grown with it. It doesn't require wasteful packaging, and it's made without chemicals and other harmful industrial additives. So where do you purchase this miracle product of your own garden, for your own garden? Black gold is the product of vermicomposting, or in simple terms, it's the rich black stuff that comes out of the back end of a worm. This so-called super soil has many benefits, and it only takes a little bit of work to build your own worm farm and get started. You know, I was growing I've been growing wheatgrass, and they give you these, you know, I get the little packets of the mineral powders you can put in the soil. I have organic soil, and it still wasn't growing. It wasn't doing as well as I thought, even an expensive package of organic soil. So I'm going to look into this. I have friends who have worm farms, and they're easy. They just feed them shredded paper and stuff. And if you go to this site, naturalblaze.com, and type in black gold, add nutrients to the garden the easy way, it gives you a step-by-step on how to start your worm farm. So there's another article from Natural Blaze, 18 delicious edible flowers from common garden vegetables. And also in that, I did not know this, I'm learning something new every day. There's a video on there, and it's about flowers, eating flowers. The buds of certain vegetable flowers have incredible nutrients in them, sometimes even more than the vegetables themselves. They contain vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, beta-carotene, something called anthocyanins, which are the pigments, the phytopigments. They're phytonutrients in the flowers. So we can live on a lot of things if we have to.
Katie, when you see these, how do you know they're safe?
Because he goes into that in the video, and you can also get books on which flowers are safe. But he's got a list here of at least 18 of them. Radishes, these are the flowers that come after the fruit or the vegetable has been picked, and usually the plants will flower. And sometimes they're tiny little flowers, and sometimes they're mid-sized flowers. But radishes, kumquats, collard greens, dandelion, cucumber, akira, broccoli, arugula, onion, basil, cilantro, sunflower, fennel, parsley, celery, sage, bee balm, and longevity spinach. So these are the flowers that you can eat. Now, you can get this from the video on that article. But I was, let me jump ahead here, because there's a few books that I wanted to recommend. There's The Forager's Harvest. You can get that on Amazon, The Forager's Harvest. And it does go into regions, so if you're in the Southwest or if you're in the Northeast, it's got pretty much everything. So if that's all you have is this book, this will help you survive. There's another one called Medicinal Herbs, A Beginner's Guide. Again, that too can be found on Amazon. And there's books on canning. Just start doing the homework and be prepared for this kind of thing. So another wonderful piece. I did not know this either. This is great for me as much as it is the audience. 6 health benefits of flower pollen. Now, this is not bee pollen. It's the pollen that the bees go after. But once they've taken this pollen, then they ingest it, and it mixes with the saliva, and it creates bee pollen. This is just the straight pollen from the flowers, and it has amazing nutrients in it. So flower pollen extract is rich in concentrated vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, fatty acids, amino acids to protect us from a variety of ailments. And there are 6 benefits from flower pollen. Number 1, it may inhibit the growth of tumor cells, including prostate cancer, because of its anti-inflammatory properties. It also reduces or eliminates symptoms of prostate inflammation, known as prostatitis, an enlarged prostate. The pollen extract might reduce the size of the prostate and congestion of prostate cells for improved urine flow and relief from urinary tract symptoms or infection. Number 2, flower pollen extract helps to normalize metabolism and boost energy. Flower pollen extract supplements true significant performance. The supplements have helped with endurance, strength, weightlifting, competitive athletes. So, Dave, I want you to go and start chomping down on some flower petals, some flowers, because you're going to get the pollen. It's going to help you do workout. Don't let the neighbor.
But, Katie, how do I know?
So that's why I'm.
See, I'll come back. I'm going to come back to my original question. How do I know that this is safe? The book.
Get the book. The guy was eating. Yes, the gentleman was eating them right there. But there's so much information on that are.
Katie, if you can hear me, we need to reorient.
Good and nutritious. Are you?
Katie, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can.
You
hear me? Okay.
Yeah, you're breaking up some. So maybe you can reorient closer to your source of power, like your router.
Okay. Oh, can't change that. It's in another part of the house. Are you losing me?
No, I'm not losing you now. Now you sound good. Whatever you did, keep doing it.
Can you hear me? Oh, good.
Can I hear you now? Yeah, he works for Sprint. Yeah, that guy left Verizon and he went to Sprint.
Can you hear me now?
Well, okay, here are a couple concerns.
So,
I mean, this all sounds really good. Okay, this sounds really good to me, but here are a couple concerns I have. I'm out in the wilderness. First of all, I'm not enough of a botanist to even know where the heck to go look for this stuff. Secondly, I don't know that I'd recognize it if I saw it, even if I'm holding the book open to the pictures. What do I do?
Well, Dave, how do you learn anything? How do you learn anything? You study to show thyself approved, right? So you get these books, you study the flowers, you study the plants. Mm-hmm. If you're growing your own, he does this to me, ladies and gentlemen, all the time. But that's okay. You study to show thyself approved. How do you think these people learned how to do it? That's why I'm encouraging the audience. Go out, get these books. Start learning how to forage. Learn how to grow your own. See, that's our reaction. Well, how am I going to do this?
We need
to get
easier?
Food independence. What?
What's easier for me on this?
Teasing me?
No, not at all. I'm not trying to be difficult here. I'm looking at this from an ignorant consumer's point of view. Remember, America's dumbed down, and we found my domain. This is it. Now, having said that, what would make more sense to me is if I could go to some store and they go, here, we have seeds that you can plant, and this is what's going to grow, and these are the benefits for you. Rather than me going out and playing trial and error with my body, and if I guess wrong, I eat the wrong thing and I die, I'd much rather get it straight from the horse's mouth than do trial and error.
Well, that's why our forefathers, the ones that made it through, gave us the information. We need to to learn from the pros.
And their lifespan was 45 years of age.
Their lifespan was 45 years of age because they had to make it from Pennsylvania to California in a buggy with a donkey. So that's probably why. But yeah, they lived a hard life. But I bet they didn't have things like autoimmune disease and ADHD and tumorous cancers.
They died of infectious diseases and not degenerative. That's true. But, Katie, going back to product accessibility, I mean, I think it's
But see, we've got
great.
That covered. We have that covered, though. See, we have gone upside down. We've gotten we understand the infectious diseases. Now we're getting man-made diseases because of our culture, because of our lifestyle. And so what I'm trying to do is encourage people to have the best of both worlds. Let's get back to being food independent, growing our own. There's a couple of different angles here. There's a health angle, and you're going to get, and the financial angle. If you're growing your own herbs, growing your own plants and fruits and vegetables, how much money are you saving? And second, let's put a punch to the gut of the food giants, big food, because they're poisoning us. This is our only way to fight back. Really? I mean, we talk about all the food, the poisons and the toxins in the food. What's our best way to fight back? Do it ourselves. We've lost the art. And so I'm trying to encourage people to get back to the art. And that would mean getting a library of, you know, of exactly what I'm talking about, foraging for your own foods, learning what plants you can eat and not eat. But
I still think there's a market there. We could get Penelope's Petunia Petting Shop, and you could go in there and you could buy seeds where you could grow this on your own and not worry about Mother Nature, and you're guessing right. That's my only concern. Listen, this stuff sounds great.
I'm talking
about away from GMOs. Anything to get away from GMOs.
That will work now. But when there are no Penelope stores and you can't get in the car to get them, I'm talking bare bones, you know, from, yes, growing your own, ordering your seeds online, learning how to do that. But what if there's nothing left?
So
what do you think of that?
If I got this right, so you've had to bug out and you've taken your bug out bag from Numana, and that runs out, and now you've got to depend on nature to make it through.
You know, that's what the military trains. The Navy SEALs and all these guys, they train on how to survive in the brutalist environments, what bugs to eat, what plants they can eat. Why aren't we doing that? Really?
Because,
to
answer your question, there's an answer to your question there.
Hmm.
And I have alluded to this several times in the past few months, is that Hillary Clinton is someone who will use food as a weapon, and I've documented this. Secretary of State, she did it. She's largely responsible for what's going on in Venezuela now. Yeah, check it out. Check out the article. Maybe we'll talk about it here in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But, the government wants you totally dependent upon them, so they want you to come into their camp, and they want you to accept their reservations with promises of food, and there they'll kind of weed out the undesirables. No pun intended. And when we look at all this, they will use food as a weapon. And if you have your own, if you're self-sufficient unto yourself, I would agree with you, you're less vulnerable. And I also see another argument for this, too. Hillary Clinton's tied intimately into Monsanto, or as I like to call him, Monsatan. And as a consequence, we know which way our food supply is going to go when she's in, as if it's not bad enough already. But if she gets in, you know, Katie barred the door, and I agree with you. and we can only store so much food, which we should be doing. But on the other hand, I agree with you that we do need to be able to have access to nature's food store. But this is a daunting task. I mean, this goes way beyond botany 101.
Daunting. I don't think it's daunting if your mind's in the position of, okay, I'm going to make it. I'm going to beat the odds. While we still have technology, while we still have the internet, there's a plethora of videos that you can watch, quick videos on regional areas of things you can eat. Like I said, books. There's handbooks, little handbooks you can put in your pocket, put in your bug out bag. We can learn these things. And once you learn the plants, you'll just know them. So, I mean, who doesn't have dandelions?
What's your level of competency in this area yourself, Katie? How would you rate
On a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 3. And that's why this is on the show, because I'm learning as I'm teaching. Love this.
Sense.
I'm fascinated by it. I've jumped into this, and you know, last winter when I started growing some of my own greens for medicinal purposes, it really got me going on this. So yeah, I grow with the audience. Trust me, I don't know it all. I teach what I don't know. How's that? So, if we have a little bit of time, I just want to cover a few of these. The flower pollen. Flower pollen is great for the immune system. It helps you to resist infections. The Europeans used it for illness, sports injuries. It goes way back in history. It works for weight control by stabilizing body weight. It has an array of vitamins, minerals, and nutrients, as I said before, including enzymes and amino acids. If flower pollen extract helps correct nutritional deficiencies, then the perfect combination of nutrients delivers overall health to all areas of the body, including the cells and organs. That is so important. I hope that we are sort of, I hope I'm opening the door to these possibilities, because I got stuck in the food storage thing. Okay, you go from learning phase to learning phase, and I've got my food storage, and I've got all my ducks in a row and my medicines. But when that runs out, what do I do? Animals will survive before I do. I want to get back to that instinct again. I want to get back to just at least knowing enough. And that's where our culture has taken us so far away from. So my introduction to serious food independence.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's good. Well, I'll say one thing. I think that food storage and knowledge go hand in hand, because where you live, when you walk out in the middle of December and you got 6 inches of snow on the ground, there ain't nothing growing. So you better
Guess
have
what?
Storable food.
You know what I do? I watch the deer. You know what the deer do? When there's nothing and there's 3 feet of snow, you know what they do? They walk around and they eat pine needles. They destroy the bottom of the pines, but they eat pine needles. So sometimes you can watch the animals and see what they're doing. There's so much we can learn, but we've got to step outside the box, because we are being challenged from every side. And so I'm just going a little bit farther and a little bit farther. If a remnant's going to survive this, it's because they did their due diligence.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And
that's my report.
You know me, I am for independence, and your report is independent. I have an adjunct mm-hmm. to what you've done. Are you ready? Dave is going to give his version of the health report here. Now, we had Mike Adams on, and wow, what a terrific guest he is. And what a terrific set of websites he has. And I went over to Natural News, and I posted this article, so I'm only going to go over a small excerpt of it. But Mike and I have given each other joint permission to post each other's stuff. We cross-promote quite a bit. And we're in the beginnings of building a business relationship. And I have so much respect for Mike. And he's got a great staff of writers. One of them, I really like his stuff. His name's J.D. Hayes. And he is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then S.D. Wells, another person who I really, really like. S.D. Wells wrote an article entitled the 9 vaccines you never need and exactly why the CDC has to scare everybody into getting them. And I'm not going to go through this extensively, but I'm going to go through it at least partially. But I will give you the 9. One is the chickenpox vaccine. And, you know, I've even questioned this myself. You know, my wife and I have talked about this. We grew up, we got the chickenpox, don't scratch it, you know, scar, and you have it for 2 or 3 days, you get through it. We didn't need a vaccine for this.
Right.
Just a moneymaker, and it's not safe. The measles vaccine, the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella, and boy, there's been so much out there about autism and its relationship with the MMR. The Zika virus. Now, Zika's new, Katie. How do they have time to develop a vaccine for Zika? They don't.
New, Dave? Is it new?
Well, new, let me put it this way. New in terms of clinically going after it with a vaccine that they haven't had time to field test. I mean, you need 5 to 10 years to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by new. And the Zika virus vaccine avoided like the plague, no pun intended. And then, of course, never. Let me give you an example. I had, you know, as I got sick, and we talked about this, I went to urgent care initially before I turned myself over to you and Ted for all the treatments I've done. And when I was in urgent care, the nice doctor comes in and says, Dave, he says, I know a smart man like you got his flu shot. And I said, here's what I said, because I am a smart man, I didn't get my flu shot. And the reason I didn't get my flu shot is because you guys don't have crystal balls in the medical profession. You can't look at next year and predict how the flu virus is going to mutate. And he did tell me, he did admit, he goes, yeah, we're about 60% accurate. And I said, well, that's a D. That's a D. 60% is barely passing. So I'll pass on taking your flu vaccine. So I don't ever get a flu shot, and I don't ever recommend anybody do. There's other reasons why, too. Then there's the swine flu, the H1N1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. The adjuvants that they put in these, the squalene, the MF59. I bet you're surprised I know all this, Katie. But I've done shows on this.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
And this stuff breaks down your immune system. It does. It breaks down your antibodies. It breaks down your cytokines. It makes you vulnerable to a whole host of disorders. In fact, it invades the gene envelope. Someone who really knows a lot about this is Dr. Rebecca Carley, and I haven't heard a lot about her recently. Man, oh man, if you wanted to know about the swine flu vaccine, that was your person. Then they have the bird flu vaccine, and these are all laboratory created, folks. Let's make no mistake about it. The H5N1, the avian flu, they didn't have time. These flus didn't have time to mutate. These were enhanced, accelerated generational mutations of the same flu strain. And I think they were created, one, to make us sick, and two, because they basically want to make money on these vaccines. And then we know the polio vaccine is filled with cancer-causing agents.
Yep.
And then,
SV40.
Of course, yeah, there's HPV. Oh, gosh. My son, they tried to push my son into getting HPV. I mean, they're now taking it over to the boys. And you know how many people have died from HPV vaccines? Even people that were working on HPV vaccines, many of them have kind of come over to the good side and they've left the dark side and they tell the truth. You know, HPV, when your pediatrician tells your kid they need HPV, run the other way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the anthrax vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Equally as bad. So these are the 9 that over on Natural News. Now, you can go to the Common Sense Show. I posted this before the show today. You can go over and take a look at this. And I think that this is good advice. But here's the deal. Did you know, Katie, that in Australia that these vaccines are now mandatory?
Mandatory, yes. Yes.
You did know that?
Yes, I did read that. Terrifying. Oh, boy.
We have people that listen to this show from Australia. I know because I hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not an indictment of these people. In fact, these people, obviously, they're taking the time to be educated, so they're not cheap. But I have to, I think of Australia as kind of a manly country. I mean, they play Australian rules rugby and football, and they're tough men.
The home of Crocodile Dundee.
There
yes.
you go.
Yes.
That's my image of Australia. What the hell is wrong with you people that you would basically, one, you let them take the guns away, and what happened to your homicide and property crime rates? They skyrocketed. And then they turn around, and now they're saying, you have to let us poison your kids, and you have no choice.
Well, I'm wondering if there's groups, just like there are here, that are fighting this. But no, we know who runs things. I don't care if it's Australia, the U.S., Canada. They're up against the same brick wall that we are. And so there may be groups out there fighting this tooth and nail. But what do you do when you've lost your power in that sense? And that's why, going full circle, the only way that we really have, or we're getting to that point where we have the power, is to just take it back. We can't take it back from the government, local, federal. We take it back by taking things into our own hands and start educating ourselves on the very basics, feeding ourselves.
Yeah.
Why not start small? It starts with the self, then the family, then the community. We've been screaming at Washington and then screaming at the State House and screaming at our local councils. They're all bought and paid for. So what is our next obvious step? Say, well, you know what? To heck with it. I'm doing this myself.
Exactly. No, listen. When my son was born, he was dependent upon his parents for every single thing he needed. And then there came the magic days of speech. And he learned the meaning of the word no.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I realized that my control over this human being was going to be limited because he knew how to say no. Unfortunately, our society has less maturity and less backbone than a two-year-old. Because what we should be saying to most of these things coming out of Washington is no and hell no.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a thing that really bothers me here, is we're not exercising our God-given right to stand up for ourselves and tell people, no, we're not going to take vaccines. No, well, fine. We can't go to your schools? Great. We'll homeschool our kids, and our kids will have higher test scores anyway. I mean, to me, the solutions are simple. You stop feeding the beast, as people like to say. You know, Katie, and here goes my rant on this. How do you stop feeding the beast? Okay, you're driving down the street, and you need a part for your toilet. Okay, do you go to A, Joe's Plumbing Store, or B, Walmart? It's easy. You go to visit Joe. Mm-hmm. Keep the money in your community, and stop feeding the people that will someday help to enslave us if they get their way. And then the
Go
ahead.
There's another idea. Part of the resistance movement is barter. Start getting to know the people in your community. Do you know someone who's a plumber? And are you an accountant? This is how we get out of the system.
Exactly. Yeah, Is it eat at McDonald's or eat at Betty's Cafe? Okay, well, it's easy. You go local on everything you can. Maybe not everything is possible, but the bottom line is, you know, put your money into things that will help you survive. Put your money into things you can use, like Renaissance precious metals, because eventually your dollar is only going to be worth, you know, basically lighting up the fireplace, and you're going to need a trading and bartering instrument, and gold and silver have historically been the best, particularly gold. You know, that's what bothers me about our country, is when we were two, we knew how to tell the big people in our life no, and we meant it. And if they tried to force us, we would scream and oftentimes get them to give in. Today, we don't have the resilience of a two-year-old. And that's the thing that really bothers me. There's something else I want to cover, Katie, here, and it's a question that a lady wrote to me, a lady from New Jersey wrote to me at my email at The Common Sense Show, DaveHodges@TheCommonSenseShow.com. And she said, Dave, why is it that all the wealthy people are supporting Hillary Clinton.
Mm.
And my first sentence when I wrote back to her is I said, "Dear Debbie, how do you think the wealthy got wealthy in this country? For the most part, they got wealthy from stealing the money from us. And in particular, I'm talking about the free trade agreements. I'm talking about inviting people from other countries to come here without proper documentation, crossing the border, and it lowers our wage structure. It takes jobs away from Americans that need them." And I said, "But they benefit because of the cheap labor on both ends of the scale." And I said, "This is effectively why you even see the highfalutin Republicans like Rat Ryan." And that's why I like to call him now, Rat Ryan. He won't support Donald Trump because he's taking too much money from the corporations for his campaign. He wants to be president someday. He's stockpiling money, and he's supposed to go along with the free trade agreements and turn the other way and let all the borders down. That's why the wealthy support Hillary Clinton. In fact, the way the wealth is divided in this country now, what is it, 1% controls, doesn't own, but controls 80% of the wealth now, we should be doing the opposite of supporting what they do, it, with one exception. George Soros has made it so clear. He's gotten out of the market. He's gotten out of the banks. I think Blumenthal's done the same thing, if I'm not mistaken. And what have they put their money into? Gold. Gold, gold, gold. Goldman Sachs, well named. They're going gold. They got all their customers out of gold, so their rich friends, the elite, could buy it up cheaply, and they did that in 2014. But in a nutshell, Katie, that's why the wealthy support Hillary Clinton as opposed to Donald Trump.
You know, that was a great question for her to ask, because dissecting that really gives people an understanding and a good differentiation between the two candidates. One is a self-made, one is a self-serving. So that was a terrific question.
Well, I agree. Now, do you know who, oh gosh, I lost the name here. Bear with me here. Malcolm something or other here. And oh, I just lost it. I'm sorry. Anyway, a senator from Australia. First name Malcolm. Here, I'm scrambling for the name and the page won't come up. But let me tell you why we should like Malcolm here. And I think I'm going to... Malcolm Roberts.
I heard about him. He is telling us, don't give up your guns. Is he the one that said, don't give up your guns?
No.
Here's what happened in Australia?
He might have done that in another venue, but this particular venue that I'm referencing... in fact, here's the title of a reproduction I put on my website with comment. It says, Australia Senator Malcolm Roberts calls climate change a UN conspiracy. I love it. Can you imagine John McCain coming out and saying it's a UN conspiracy? Or Feinstein coming out and say, hey, climate change is a UN conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but here we have this person in Australia doing this.
I think that's terrific. I think that's why Brexit went through, because Nigel Farage just came right out and started calling it what it is. Trump is doing the same thing. He's pulling the curtain back, and he's actually speaking publicly the same things that we know, that we've seen, that we've been screaming about at the top of our lungs, and it's terrific. I love it. It's spreading. The truth is spreading, and the courage to speak it. Everyone knows it, but nobody will talk about it. It's the emperor's new clothes, you know?
But he's still naked.
Hmm?
The emperor's still naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still naked.
Well,
I got a couple
naked.
More things. Yeah, I got a couple more things I wanted to share here. I've got it on the scuttlebutt. When your pastor disappears and appears to be going on vacation, yeah, he or she may be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a good chance they're going to the latest meetings of NOVAD. And who's NOVAD? It's an agency created by DHS to basically control the clergy response team. And if you haven't read up on the clergy response team, it's about time that you get familiar with it. I've interviewed insiders on this, people who've gone through the training, and I'll just cut right to the chase here, Katie. The clergy response team is trained to get people to go into the camps and to be calm. Now, it's kind of interesting. I've actually quoted chapter and verse from Walter Mansfield, who's, I think, the original whistleblower, who says, I'm not going along with this. I'm a man of God, not a man of DHS. But he went through some training. And he said that when they were practicing doing their roles in the camps, so the people come to the camps, they just said, well, God never gives us more than we can take, but he was not allowed to read from the Bible. None of the clergy is allowed to quote scripture to the people. It's verboten. In fact, in the DHS document that Walter Mansfield leaked to me and I've published, I think Lisa Haven has worked on this as well, too. It says in there that Christianity has been the source of much persecution through the years, so therefore we can't use the term Jesus and God and salvation. Your job is to simply try to pacify them. So they want to use the cloak of the pastor, but they don't want to use the belief system of the pastor. And I'm trying to find out how many people in the clergy are actually in the clergy response team.
Let me tell you what I've been... I have a brilliant idea. I have a brilliant idea. I hope you don't mind me saying this. But like you did with Jade Helm, and you made citizen reporters out of everyone, I would suggest that if people know their pastors all over the country, and they take these little vacations, or they happen to be chatting with them at the church coffee, find out when they're leaving. Find out where they're going, and send them to us. And let's expose these guys. We'll find out who's on the team, who isn't on the team, where they're meeting. Let's do some investigative work using the people of the church.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like that a lot. I like that
idea. I get the names and where they're meeting and what state they're flying to and who's going. And, you know, our pastor left for a week here. You get 20 or 30 of those, and they all went to XYZ city. Then we've got citizen reporters everywhere exposing this. That's the only thing that stops all of this conspiracy stuff, is exposing it as fact. I like it, too.
Interesting. Well, let me tell you what I've looked into this week. I've tried once again, and I've done this many times. How many pastors, how many clergy are actually in the clergy response team? The answer, no one's saying. But what I really find interesting about this is the estimates are out there. I've been told 20,000. I've been told, 50,000. I don't know. But I have been told this. Anyone who pastors a church over 5,000 people has been approached about being in. And the chances are they are in. And that's really, really concerning to me. Now, here's something that's going on in the churches, and I can't really get my finger on why they're doing this. On one hand, you have a large church, and they might have services on Wednesday and on Saturday night and on Sunday. They may have 6, 7, 8, 10 services if the church is big enough. But a movement that I've noticed in a lot of churches, and I've been comparing notes with fellow Christians, and they're seeing the same thing, is that no matter how big the church is, many of them are emphasizing these things called neighborhood groups. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is a neighborhood group is not run by a pastor that's limited by 501(c). You know, and they'll lose their tax-exempt status if they speak out politically. But what's interesting is they're just average people who host, and they read scripture, and they serve refreshments and offer child care. And you might have 6, 8, 10, 15 people max. And we could all be talking about these things here. I think that's a way that we could actually take our churches back. It's through these neighborhood groups. And be unafraid to speak the truth. Remember the line that I used when I talked to Lisa, when people tell me from various churches, oh, we don't deal with conspiracy theories here. And I said, well, really? Well, Jesus was the victim of a conspiracy.
Exactly.
And that's where I think we could use this as a lead-in, and we might be able to use neighborhood groups to reestablish a foothold on our churches. If not, people need to do what we said several times on this show, is to retreat into their own personal Bible study with their family and a few close friends and find your salvation there, and grow closer to God there without basically going to a government-run church. I mean, the government's in our schools now. They're in our medicine. We've let them now into our churches. It's just disgusting. And what we need is to get rid of government out of our agencies. And if the government won't let us do it, then we need to do it for them. Katie,
well, and Dave, it's the same theme that I started out the health report. Start bringing it down to a smaller, more manageable, more accountable level, whether it's starving the food giants, starving the churches. Just get down to the basics, get down to God, get down to family, friends. That's where it's going to start.
Well, I totally, totally agree with that. And it's never too late to reinvent yourself. You, well, I've gone to this church for 40 years. Okay, fine. You know, life is about adapting.
And then Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you?
Yeah, really, exactly. Well, it's kind of interesting. And really, we do need to kind of shake out the bed bugs every now and then and change directions when we feel we need to. I got a good friend, my roommate in college for a while, and best man at his wedding, that kind of thing. And he's always chased the dollar in business and finance, and he's done pretty well. And he developed a passion for coaching softball. And his daughter was a really good player in California. And now he's taken a job coaching softball at a major university in the Southeast. And it's not too late to, and he's my age, so it's never too late to turn yourself around in your life, and that means your spiritual life, your professional life, your personal life. As long as you got a day to live, you can reinvent yourself. Well, we only got a short time here before the end of the show, and I wanted to mention what's coming up here on the Common Sense Show. And of course, that screen would go blank. Here, let me pull it up here. Next week, we have, God willing, if his health is good, and I please ask you to keep him in your prayers, Joshua Coy, in the first hour. And then we've got some real survival issues. And, Katie, you touched on them, too, with the seeds, the flowers, and so forth. We're having Bob Griswold back in the second hour. And the following week, with all that's happening with the smart meters and technocracy and the blah, blah, blahs, we're having Pat Wood on. And just a terrific guest. So we've got a great lineup of guests. Don't forget, visit our YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe and to like us. And we want to invite you to come back here again next week. Same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern. Love all you guys. Go out and have a great week. God bless.
God bless.